Forest born ogre child, you're nothing but a demon wild. So begins the story of Vasilisa, coming up next right here on The Right Stuff. Showcasing Christian authors from all over the world. England, Canada, India, Thailand, UK, USA. It's Tuesday night, and this is The Right Stuff. With your host, the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. Cole. And welcome to another edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me. We are going to be talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Maria Farb, and she is the author of the book Vasilisa, Book One, A Hearth and Bard Tales. Let me tell you, when you start to read this book, you are not going to be able to put it down. It is a perfect fairy tale, a retelling of Stava and Vasilisa from Maria's point of view. So if you like fairy tale retellings, this is the one for you. Can't wait to tell you more about it in just a few moments. I want to thank all of you for your support of my newest release, A Groom for Altar. It has been on the bestsellers list in its category for the past week now, and that's only because of your support. I really sincerely appreciate it. The response has been quite surprisingly and phenomenal. I can't thank you enough. You make me think this girl can write. So thank you so much for your support. For those of you who want to get your copy of A Groom for Altar, it's available exclusively on Amazon.com, part of the Blizzard Bride series. So make sure you check out that book and all the books in that series if you like sweet historical romance. We want to thank our corporate partner, Christian Book Club, for their support. To find out how they can help you build your readership, go to christianbookclub.net. I'm really excited to let you know that Radio App is now live. That's right. We've been announcing it for months, but now it is live. If you are an author looking to have your books on an app that is solely Christian fiction, nonfiction, Radio App is the app for you. You can find out how you can upload your books into this app, and you can also get paid royalties and other amenities that come with being a partner of Radio App. For more information, go to radioapp.com. Again, go to radioapp.com. The app is now live. Very excited to share that with you. I'll be uploading my catalog pretty soon into that app. And guess what? It's unique because you don't have to compete with Amazon's algorithms, bad listings. You know how sometimes you look up your book and your book may be a sweet, clean romance and you find some bare-chested guy underneath your book. You're like, how did that happen? Or conversely, I've heard from some of the steamy authors, they have a steamy book and suddenly a Christian book comes up under there. So it goes both ways, I guess. So if you want to get your book on an app solely dedicated to Christian fiction and nonfiction, Radio App is the app for you. It is now live. You can download it on Google Play right now. If you want to weigh in on our conversation, you know you can. All you got to do is call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff, with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Radio. Radio App, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm-influenced unrelated classifications? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Radio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Radio solely caters to it. Follow at Radio App today on social media or visit radioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the most high-influence ebooks and audiobooks.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me as we talk to my guest co-host and contributor today, Maria Farb. She is the author of the book Vasilisa, book one of the Hearth and Bard Tales, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. If you like fairy tale retelling, this is the book for you. I particularly love the cover of this story, and I know we're going to get a little more in depth as we talk to Maria, but I definitely want to make sure before we get started that I thank our Patreon team for their support of Right Stuff. If you want to find a place to put your dollars at, we do showcase Christian authors all over the world and have been doing that now for going on 8 years. So if you want to find a place to put your dollars, go to our Patreon account, patreon.com/rightstuff, and see what level you can assist us with. And if you can't assist us, that is quite okay. One thing we do covet, we covet your prayers. So we would love your prayers for the show as well. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce my co-host today, Maria Farb. Maria, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
I am so excited to have you on the show. We planned this last year sometime, and it's amazing how fast time goes, because you think it's going to be oh so long, and then you blink and it's already here. And so that's what happened today, because we planned this a while ago and now you're here with us and we're being able to talk about your Hearth and Hearth and Bone or Hearth and Tale. I have no idea why, but Hearth and Bard Tales. And I just want to introduce you to our listeners and let them know what you are all about. So I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be here with me today.
Thank you.
So the first thing I got to ask is this. Now, I can always read your bio, but if I read your bio, you're not really talking to me. You're just reading out. So go ahead and tell us who you are in your own words.
Okay, so I'm an adventurous introvert. It's kind of an interesting combination, but I've always loved adventure. Like, one of my favorite memories is riding a retired racehorse bareback. I got to do that in college, and it was the most exciting, exhilarating experience. My first memories are climbing. We lived where we had a barn, and I climbed up into the rafters of that barn at age 4. So I love adventure. I also love learning. I took calculus at a community college at age 14. I planned on going to MIT and becoming an astronaut, but plans changed. Instead, I majored in English, married my sweetheart, and now I'm in the midst of raising our 6 kids, which is awesome. I really love it. They are my first and most beautiful stories.
I love the fact you rode a horseback. I love that. Keep going, please.
Oh, okay. As a young adult, I lived in St. Petersburg, Russia. I taught English to the kindergarten kids there. I learned to wash my clothes in a bathtub, to boil and filter my drinking water. And it was such a wonderful learning experience. And a lot of my experiences there influenced my writing of Vasilisa.
You said you learned how to do your laundry in the bathtub, boil and filter water, because I'm a city girl. Many of my listeners know that. I'm a city girl through and through. However, I am no stranger to using the tub to wash my clothes, because Granny insisted that we knew how to wash our clothes by hand. She insisted that. And so we used to have a tin tub and a washboard. As a matter of fact, Granny would, whenever someone in our family got married, every bride's gift was a washboard and a tin tub. Every bride. You didn't even have to guess who gave you the gift, because Granny was the one who gave you a gift of a tin tub and a washboard. So I totally understand that. And one of the reasons why I was really tickled about the whole thing about riding a horse is because this year I'm actually going to be going to a fellow friend of mine's house in Colorado, and she's going to make me ride a horse. I've never ridden a horse before. So I'm really, I'm half looking forward to it, Maria, halfway, because I don't like animals taller than me, particularly those that are way taller than me. So I'm a little nervous about doing it, but she's going to make me do it, and I have a choice. So that was pretty cool. I like the fact that you said you're an adventurous introvert, because that means that you may not have a lot to say, but you have done a lot, and people wouldn't know that. You're probably the epitome of still waters run deep, I will hazard to say. Still waters, like, don't let the face fool you. You know what I mean? Don't let the fact that I'm quiet fool you, because there's a wealth of experience there. Now, when you were living in Russia, you told us a little bit about some of the things that you did. How is it different from living here in, I'm assuming you live in the U.S., for some reason, I thought you live in Canada. I don't know why. But how different is it from living here in the U.S. or in Canada? Or
I do live in the U.S.
Yes.
But yes. So St. Petersburg, Russia is this huge city, and everyone lives in these tiny little apartments. I mean, their buildings are huge, but so the family I lived with a family there, and they – out in public, a lot of Russians are just kind of cold. You don't talk to people. But at home, they're just very gregarious. Like my host's dad, he taught me to eat cookies with butter. He was like, it's good for your eyesight.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That, you know,
and they were hilarious. I loved them. They were such a great family.
So it's just a culture to be more introverted and stoic, I guess. I'm assuming. I don't want to put a bad name on Russians and then people come after me. But I'm assuming that that's just the cultural norm, but they're very close to their families and things of that nature.
Yes.
And did you know at that
Except
time?
Except for the babushkas. The babushkas, the grandmothers, they are always talking to everyone. They're always giving orders. They're like, put a hat on. You're not dressed warm enough. Or you should wash your windows. I love the babushkas.
You know, okay. So do they really look like the story tale babushkas that we see in these tales here?
Well, they don't have like their kerchief on their head or anything, but they, I'm trying to think. They just are, they're the social police. For the the communities,
I love it.
Just make sure things are happening as they should.
I love it. And I'm pretty sure that when you were in Russia and you were teaching English, did you know that you would take your experiences in Russia and putting it into this book here?
No, I had no idea I was going to do this book at that time.
Okay, like I'm going here to learn and I'm going to put it here. No, you said no. This came much later. And so that gets me into my next question I have to ask for you is, what does your journey to writing look like?
Okay. So I've always loved stories. Some of my earliest memories were lying on the carpet listening to my dad read out loud. And we explored the worlds of Narnia and of Middle-earth. We cried with Corrie ten Boom in The Hiding Place. And we voyaged with the Kon-Tiki and to Grass Beyond the Mountains. So we just read books that are both true and fiction. I just fell in love with stories starting from that early childhood of listening to my dad read out loud. However, and this is kind of a surprise, I didn't like writing. I didn't like writing until I was a teen. I was the math geek. I was the one who was going to go be an astronaut. But then one evening, I started creating a story to help my little sisters go to sleep, and the plan backfired. We stayed up way too late, and we kept working on the story, and it kept building, and that was the very beginnings for my first novel. Was in that story I started telling my sisters.
So when go ahead, please continue.
Oh, and I was going to say, I spent about 12 years of motherhood where the only writing I did was journaling, but those 12 years of journaling added up to a couple million words. And when my youngest started sleeping through the night and I had energy to write again, because when kids don't sleep through the night, that's hard to think. Anyways, I had already developed a writing habit. And now I write whenever and wherever I can.
I like that you said you develop a writing habit, because one thing that a lot of aspiring authors have trouble with is making sure they continue to write. And most authors will tell you to write every day or write as much as possible, because the more you write, the easier it becomes to write. Of course, you can always edit later, but the point is to get into a habit of writing. And then you said by the time you actually started, you had millions of words that you have written. And this becomes extremely important if you're starting to write your book. So I'm really glad that you made mention of that. And so you told us about what your journey to writing looks like, but what about writing is it that you enjoy so much?
Oh, I love creating a solid world for the ghost-like stories that flit across my imagination. I have a very vivid imagination. And so I write to see where the story will go, what the hero or heroine will do. I find that stories are often the best way to explore relationships, deep ideas, and flights of fancy. I feel like I understand the world and others and even myself better as I write. I also love researching for my stories. This is my other favorite part of writing. For Vasilisa, I studied, amongst other things, balalaika music, the hopak dance, thunder snow, how animals sense the world, and the games of professional chess players.
See, the part in the story where they were playing chess, that was something I was thinking to myself. If this was checkers, I totally have you, right? But chess is a game of strategy. And I've never played chess. I don't know if anyone would ever want to teach me how to play chess, because I was looking at the book. And, of course, as I was reading your book, I went online to look up chess. And it was just like, wow, I don't think I could ever do this. And chess is a massive, very popular game. And it's used in every book. You know, serial killers play chess. You know, nice people play chess. People with brains play chess, and chess is almost seen as a way to put your mind frame, like your mind is like, if you can play chess and win that chess, you want a challenging opponent. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, okay, that's definitely not me. And a story of Vasilisa, she's playing chess and she learns really quickly, incredibly quickly. And I was thinking to myself, you are so good, Vasilisa. You are so good at learning chess that quickly. But it's part of the whole thing about the fairy tale too. I love that, just her journey as she goes through the story. And like I said, I had never heard of Vasilisa or Sava before. And so when we come back from our break, I want you to go a little bit in detail about who Vasilisa and Staber are first, so we can understand what the fairy tale is that we are telling for our listeners out there who may not have heard about it. And those of you who want to weigh in on our conversation, you certainly can. All you have to do is call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist, and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring His gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So glad you're here with me as we talk about the book Vasilisa. It is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. It's a fairy tale retelling of Vasilisa and Staver, which is a Russian fairy tale, I'm assuming, because Maria is going to tell us more about that in a second. But I also wanted to let you guys know, and I forgot to mention this earlier, is that and those of you know, I just recently started writing for that blog, and one of my articles was on the top 10 of 2020 for that blog, and I did a soundbite on Fantastical Podcast. So if you want to hear it today, it's available. Simply go to lorehaven.com, and you can see the podcast interview and the soundbite I provided as they went through the top 7 of the articles for that blog for 2020. Forgot to mention that earlier. And stay tuned for tomorrow, where I talk more about what's going to happen in Speculative Faith. So if you're not already on speculativefaith.com, I assure you it's a wonderful place to be. Wonderful articles and great bloggers give you so much information about speculative fiction from a Christian worldview. Maria, once again, thank you for being with me on the show. Really excited to just showcase you and showcase your work here. And I particularly love Vasilisa. But I got to admit, when I first heard about this being a fairy tale retelling, I had no idea who Vasilisa is. So who is Vasilisa? How is she important when it comes to Russian folklore and fairy tale?
So Vasilisa, the name, is usually the heroine in any Russian fairy tale. But this specific one is one from a picture book that I read to my kids. And when I read it, I was like, oh, this needs to be a book. This needs to have something more than just this 20 pages of pictures and a little bit of text.
Okay.
Vasilisa, I'm actually just going to read the little bit of a blurb to introduce her because I'm better writer than speaker. But Vasilisa has always been strong. She's strong enough to break the arm of the bully that daily taunts her. She won't, because she and her mother are servants at the Orlov Manor, and her mother would be punished for her retaliation. Instead, Vasilisa bides her time until she is 16 and can return to the forest. Favor, the master's son, shows her kindness. His friendship pulls as strong as the forest, but their classes are divided forever by law. She is a forest-born, fatherless servant, and her future at the manor holds mockery-filled drudgery. War threatens, the forest calls. Will she stay to protect the one who can never be more than a friend, or flee to the peace that the forest offers?
Now, in the blurb of Vasilisa, how does it relate to the heroine in Russian folklore? Is she constantly? Does her identity change over time? You know, what is Vasilisa?
Yes, her identity.
Okay.
She's a different person in each one. Sometimes she's a little girl who has to go face Baba Yaga. Sometimes she is the wife of some prince and she has to save her husband. Sometimes she is Vasilisa the Wise, and she is able to solve these riddles. So it changes from fairy tale to fairy tale.
I see. Okay, I see. Kind of like when there's a lot of Marys in like Christian stuff, a lot of Mary and things of that nature, the good, kind girl named Mary or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, I get that. Okay. So I was wondering, cause I'm like, I never heard of Vasilisa. I heard of Baba Yaga, and Baba Yaga is always the witch, the evil person,
yes,
the dark force in all the fairy tales. She lives in a house on chicken legs, spins on chicken legs, and she's the old witch. And she devours children, and which is always interesting to me. And she is very skinny, old-looking, very hideous-looking. And I could see as a child being terrified of her because, you know, who wants to look at that every morning? You know, so, yeah, I totally understand why Baba Yaga be terrifying. And so in Vasilisa, in your interpretation of Vasilisa, she is a fatherless, forest-born child. So if we are going through our fairy tale motifs here, what do you mean by that? Is she magical? Is she human? What exactly is she?
I leave that for the reader to discover. And there is a lot of discovery that happens throughout the book. She isn't really sure who she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that
throughout the book, she discovers who she is.
That comes through in the story as well, because she's ostracized for being who she is. And then when people come near her or get friendly with her, she automatically pushes them away. And it's that famous saying that I'm sure you're familiar with, Maria, where it says hurt people hurt people. In a sense, she doesn't hurt people, but she pushes people away because she doesn't want to get hurt by them. And then when someone shows her kindness, she is very skeptical of her kindness, because what is the ulterior motive behind it? But at the same time, she has these multi-layered parts of her character that come through wonderfully well in Vasilisa that our listeners are really going to enjoy. And in the beginning of the book, she's getting bullied. And who doesn't remember being bullied as a kid? Who doesn't remember that? She's getting bullied. But thankfully, unlike me, who had to run for the hills before I got beat up, she actually take care of. And so Vasilisa deals with a lot being a fatherless child, and she is something of a wild child, not wild as in temperament, but wild as in because she's very nature born or nature to her. Nature is very, what's the word I want to use, Maria? She's very
attuned with nature.
Yeah, she's very attuned to nature. Yeah. And so she's part of it. And one thing about Vasilisa that I like that Maria, for our listeners out there, this really does read like a very good fairy tale. It has all those elements of fairy tales that we enjoy. And speaking of fairy tales, what are those elements that you think really draw us as people to the fairy tale over and over and over again?
I think we always have to have a hero who faces a challenge, and that it's not an easy thing to overcome. The hero just doesn't get the magic wand and say, okay, I fixed it. They have to actually go on a journey. They have to put in the work. And I know that draws me to the fairy tale.
And it's the underdog aspect of it too. Dogs fighting against external foes, maybe internal demons that they may have, and they're fighting against it. I think too, the thing about fairy tales that we know it's going to happen. But what's so interesting is that fairy tales, some fairy tales, particularly like grim fairy tales, they tend to be extremely dark. And I have a book of the complete works of Grimm Brothers, their fairy tales. And some of these fairy tales, when I say they're dark, Maria, they are dark. You're like, oh my goodness, she did what to the guy? Like in one of the stories, the daughter got mad, and she the mom got mad at the son, and she knocked his head off, you know. And then she,
yeah,
oh my gosh, she kills him, right? She kills him. So then she picks it back ties a scarf around it. Then when his sister gets mad, she knocks his head off and she thinks she killed him. I'm like, this is horrible. Why would a mother do that to her daughter? You know, and that's not the darkest part of the story either. So you're sitting there like, oh my goodness, but fairy tales, we're constantly drawn to them because they're such, they're so interesting. They actually reflect different lessons that happen in life. You know what I mean? Particularly with Russian mm-hmm. fairy tales, and this is something that is very well illustrated in Yura Vasilisa, is that continual struggle against the external forces and internal things going on. Is that something that you noticed as you were researching Vasilisa and doing other things to bring this book together? What were those motifs or those themes that ran through with Russian folklore and fairy tales?
Okay. So I've read a lot of Russian fairy tales, and I've also read some of the Russian literature like Anna Karenina and Brothers Karamazov. And there is always a lot of layers in whatever's happening. You don't ever have a simple storyline. You always have multiple storylines interweaving, and tried to do that in this story. I tried to have a lot of different layers going on all at the same time. And also there's a lot of just life is hard, but they don't give up. They're not a people that give up. In fact, this is what I wrote about Ruska. I said, Ruska is a cold land. The people are strong, for they yearly fight winter. Those who win live to see another summer. Those who do not find home in the earth that is frozen half the year. It is a land of wolves and ogres, tsars and wars, and forests vast enough to hold whole nations. So that is the feel of this land.
And it does come through like that, because Vasilisa, she's a servant, but the work she has to do, oh my goodness, I am so glad I was born in the 20th century. I really am. Okay, because she has to do a lot of work, and it's backbreaking work, it's tedious work, and she's just one of many that has to do that. And then when it comes to like the scenery and the setting of this story, you actually feel like you're in Russia, or a Russian fairy tale. You really do. You did such a great job immersing us in this land here. And then another aspect of the story is that you show this dynamic between Vasilisa and Staver. And Vasilisa and Staver, they have a really unique dynamic. Here she is, this big, strong girl with superhuman power, and here's this gentle man who cares about her. And usually that, in my opinion, that usually is switched around, where the girl is gentle and kind and sweet, and the guy is, you know, the big, strong, heavy dude. But in this case, is switched around. Is that an element of Russian folklore? Is that just something you did? Tell us a little about that.
That's an element from the specific fairy tale I pulled from. That's not usual, but in this specific fairy tale, that was the dynamic.
Gotcha. Gotcha there. So real quick, before we get some more into the story, I want to ask you some more practical questions, because I'm always using the show as an opportunity for aspiring authors to learn what other authors do to complete their works. And so as you were getting ready to write this story, tell us about your writing process. And did it differ from this story as opposed to the other books you have in your catalog? Tell us about that.
Okay, so most of my stories, I'm a mom of six, so I have to catch as catch can for writing. So my early mornings before people wake up are my favorite writing times. On a good day, I can get like several thousand words before anyone else wakes up. However, story ideas, they don't say, oh, I'll just come when it's convenient. They come at all times randomly throughout the day. So I always keep a notebook with me. I have one in my purse. I have one in the kitchen. I have one in my bedroom. So if an idea comes when I'm doing laundry or at 2 a.m., I just jot down the idea really quick, and then I'll type it up later, because my handwriting is illegible even to me after a couple days.
Oh my gosh.
But for each story, I start by completing an outline which goes over the main beats of the story, the character development, motives, themes, etc. And then I start writing the story, and I create a spreadsheet that as I complete each chapter, I'll put in a summary of that chapter in that spreadsheet. And so by the end of the story, I have this very succinct way of looking at the whole story altogether. and I can go, okay, does everything match up? Like one of my books, I had something that I added later on. I was like, oh, I need this to happen earlier in the story. So I went back to the spreadsheet and said, okay, what chapter do I want this in? I added that element into there and added it to the story.
You know, that frightens me in a sense because you're a plotter. And most of my listeners know I'm a pantser. And just that level of detail for me is frightening because, I mean, it's really interesting that you could do it that way, though. And I admire you for that.
Well, my first ones weren't plotted at all. They were totally pantsed. And mm-hmm. I still do a lot of just by the seat of my pants. That's why I said mm-hmm. I write the spreadsheet as I'm writing the book. Because I'm typing, I'm like, oh, this needs to go this way. Oh, this character, that they're not going to go the way I planned. They're going to go a completely different direction.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm very much allowing the character to take the story where it needs to, depending on their personality.
That's a good idea.
In fact,
This
one's kind of hilarious. Mm-hmm. In my very first book, I had a character who was going to swear. And I just don't write swear words.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh, no, you don't. And he's like, yes, I am. I am super frustrated. I am going to swear. And then I had mm-hmm. something happen that influenced the rest of the book because mm-hmm. I was like, no, you're not going to do that.
Oh, my. Oh, my. I love that.
And it was hilarious.
I love that because it shows that there are some writers who are plotters, and this one plotter guy I know says, my characters don't tell me what to do. I tell my characters what to do. They're fictional. And I said, that's because you haven't pants. I said, you're a plotter, so you want to control every element of your story. I said, but if you were to pants, you would discover that your characters will do something you did not plan for them to do. And then he recently pants the book recently, and he had to eat his words, Maria. He had to eat his words.
Yes.
Because he said, this wasn't what I planned. And he actually didn't like it because the character was not following his structure. And I said, but if you let it go, you'll be surprised where the story goes. And that's what some people don't understand, why pantsers love what we do, because the story can go all over the place. You'll probably come back later through editing and fix it. But right then when you're pantsing, best part of the story ever, in my opinion. But for those of you listening out there, you know that I always, you know, make sure that you know these ideas. So if this is something you want to do for the coming year, you can do what she says as she writes a story, I couldn't possibly do that, but I admire you that you do. It could have something to do with, I don't like Excel. I don't like spreadsheets.
Oh, yes.
I'm not a numbers person. Numbers make my head hurt. Even when I look at them, I could count money. Does that count? I can count money, but after that, no. But yeah, so this is just some more of the ideas that you have. So we're going to take a quick short break. When we come back, Maria is going to read an excerpt from Vasilisa, and then we're going to go more into the book as well. You still have an opportunity to call in and weigh in. Calling in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air. Hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Writestream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? Sormac Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. Sormac Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, Sormac Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on Sormag.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about Sormag Digital, check us out on Sormag.com or contact us at Sormag@Yahoo.com. Sormag Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Hi, my name is Kevin Newsom, and I am the host of the Christian Arts and Entertainment Podcast. I am an author, musician, and worship pastor. On my podcast, we talk art and entertainment in all its forms: music, writing, movies, art, and more. Join us each week as we wrestle with two questions. What is a Christian artist's responsibility when creating art? And what is a Christian consumer's responsibility when consuming art? You'll find the Christian Arts and Entertainment Podcast on your favorite podcast platform and in full video on YouTube. Go to www.pressepic.com for more information. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube and in your podcast app, and I'll see you soon.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. I'm having such a good time talking to contributor today, Maria Farb. She is the author of the book Vasilisa. It is book one of the Hearth and Bard Tales, available at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. If you like fairy tale retellings, this is the one for you. I was telling Maria before the broadcast started that I was very upset with her because I have a deadline that I'm not going to reach now because I just have to finish reading her book. And you'll discover why I feel that way when you pick up your copy of Vasilisa on Amazon.com. And Maria, once again, thank you so much for being with me on the show, letting us highlight this book and tell our listeners all about it. Now, what I want you to do is go ahead, set us up for the excerpt you're about to read, because I'm going to go ahead, mute myself, and have you take it from there.
Okay. So I've cut a few spoilers from this scene, but mostly it's exactly as it is in the book. So Vasilisa has just learned that Staver put himself in a dangerous situation for her, but she can't actually contact him. So this is what she's doing after she finds this out. I jogged between the pines, the cold unable to seep through the leather boots and wool socks. My wide-skirted wool dress allowed my freedom of stride. A water pouch bounced on my hip, along with a satchel packed with food, and a flint and steel in my pocket. What if he's hurt? What if I cause his death? What if? My feet led while my thoughts tumbled. A shrill cry stopped me. A gnarled oak bent over the path, and a goshawk peered at me from a branch, its black and white rippled plumage blending in with the black trees, and it was the oak. The wolf always met me here, in my dreams. Tingles ran down my arms. The goshawk cried again. Are you from my dreams too? I called. He swooped from the branch, his wings spreading almost as wide as my arms, and flew northwest, the way of the wolf path. The breeze tickled a wisp of hair across my face, then blew my skirts forward. I ran after as the ghost hawk disappeared into the pines. My worried thoughts fell into the snow behind me. I'd pick them up when I returned, but for now, I breathed in the pine and frost. I followed the breeze northwestward through a meadow, curving around a frozen peat bog, twining my way between pines with trunks thicker than a field worker's hut was wide. The sun kept pace with me, following me westward. Ahead, a smaller tree trunks crisscrossed my path, pushed over by heavy winter snows. I leapt onto one and ran along it until I came to another and followed its narrow path. The third trunk shifted under my feet. I threw my arms wide to keep balance and skipped sideways to a new trunk. The trunk stopped rolling and settled against the others. That was close. I blew out my held breath. If I got my foot stuck between the trunks, I'd be trapped as well as a grouse, and a striped with black signaled a new part of the forest. I closed my eyes again to feel the way of the dreams, and a memory burst into color. The white birch wore leaves as bright as fire. I flew upward, reaching out and grasping yellow leaves, then fell back into strong arms. Papa's laugh rumbled under my squeals. I pushed yellow leaves through his black hair, then reached for more. He tossed me upward again. A lock of my hair snagged on a branch, yanking my head sideways as I fell. Papa caught me, and I whimpered in his arms until he pointed up into the trees. Strands of red hair hung like fiery spiderweb among the leaves. Papa pulled the hair down and braided it into a strand, then tied it around his wolf pendant.
And that was an excerpt from Vasilisa by Maria Farb. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And I called you Vasilisa. Maria, I really enjoy, I just love your way with words, and I love how vivid you are with your detail. Like, I actually saw that scene play in my mind, and I love the way you describe the scenery around you. I think that is, to me, that's an art form where you can use setting in such a way that it's vivid, but it's not cumbersome, because sometimes you can get bogged down by the details and someone's like, I don't care what the room looks like. You know what I mean? But in your book, the setting works to actually propel the action of the story too, which is what I love as well. But I wasn't going to read the part that I like in your book, but now I have to read it. And you know I'm a hopeless romantic, and my listeners know I'm a hopeless romantic. So I'm just going to read this one part. It's early on in the story, so I'm not spoiling anything particularly. And it's Staver talking to Vasilisa, and she just found out that he wants to marry her. And he says this, he wanted to marry me. I was the one he chose years ago, but why? He cut my face with his good hand, because I love you. I have since you showed your elven face over the wall and laughed at my first attempted songs on the balalika. She goes, I'm just a servant girl. He says, you are Vasilisa. Though you've served your whole life, I've never met someone as free as you. You were never a servant. You are the playfulness of the otter, the fierce joy of the shrike in flight, the honor of the hunting hound. And then he goes on to say some more that I won't read. But it's just such a romantic scene here, and it's sweet and gentle, and I love that type of stuff. So that's why I really enjoyed this book, because you really take the magical element of the fairy tale. You add the Russian mindset to the fairy tale as well, so you don't lose that cultural aspect of it, and then you just wrap in just really good wordsmith skills. So for our listeners out there, pick up your copy of Vasilisa on Amazon.com today. You will not be disappointed. And so I always ask this question, Maria, who are your favorite characters? Or rather, I should say, who's the character you love to hate and the one you hate to love? Tell us about those two.
Oh, love to hate. The mistress. She is awful. That's who Vasilisa works for. She is just very, very cold. and she knows how to use words and her power to just make Vasilisa's life miserable. And the one I love, oh, that's a toss-up. Vasilisa, I really relate to her in so many ways. We're both adventurous. We don't really fit socially. We're both stronger than we look. Her a lot stronger than she looks, but I also have had people totally underestimate me. And we both keep trying to do what's right, but often make mistaken assumptions. One big difference between her and me is I love horses. She's terrified of them.
Yeah, that's me. So you've captured me, because when I go on this horse sometime this year, you'll probably see the video of me shrieking like a banshee or something, but I'm going to do it. I write too much historical romance to not have ridden a horse, so I have to do this, okay? And then maybe my writing will be better as I experience falling and breaking my foot getting off a horse. Coming out of me now, Maria. And so we're getting close to the end of our show, and I want to thank you again for being with me on the show, but I've got a couple more questions for you. What has been the reader's response to Vasilisa and the other books in this series? Tell us about the other book as well, too.
Okay, so the next book in the series is another fairy tale rewrite, and it is set in Japan. Let me see. So this one is called Fourth Sister, and it'll be published on February 12th. And it's a Japanese fairy tale retelling with sparse poetry and gold-mended brokenness. It's a Studio Ghibli-type story, if you're familiar with, like, Spirited Away or other Studio Ghibli-type films. It has very much that feel. The summary of it is, blamed for her twin brother's death, Shisei, the outcast fourth of seven sisters, apprentices herself to a mask maker. But when the local Kazoku accuses the youngest sister of killing his son, Shisei must lead her sisters in a deception that will either save the youngest or condemn them all. So I'm really excited for that one to come out. I think it's my favorite book that I've written yet. Oh, go on, sorry.
No, it was really quickly when you mentioned about her being the fourth sister. As soon as I saw that, I knew exactly where you're going with, because she is the name for four, but the number four, but it's also the character for death. And so even within
yes.
that particular mind frame, they won't even like, they'll skip the fourth or they won't have the fourth thing or something like that. Also, it's the same like the number 13 in the Western side of it. Like 13 is the unlucky number, you know what I mean? And so 4 is the unlucky number there, because the character, as soon as I saw that, I knew exactly where you're going with it. I took Japanese when I was in school. So definitely knew where you're going with that. So I'm excited to read that book as well. But what has the reader's response been? I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to add that to your conversation there.
Thank you. So can I just read a few readers' quotes? Reviews, would that be all right?
Please do.
Okay. So one reader said, Vasilisa was a delightful read filled with vibrant scenery, detailed characters, and plenty of adventure. Barb has an excellent grasp of utilizing the senses to enrich the story and deepen reader immersion. I felt all of Vasilisa's emotions as she experienced them and rooted for her as she faced her enemies with cunning, strength, and determination. And another reader said, this incredible novel tells of a young woman who finds herself while protecting those she loves. Called evil by others, now she proves her skills of trickery and deception can also be used for good.
And those are just some of the reviews for Vasilisa. Again, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Now, if people want to get in contact with you, Maria, where can they find you online?
So I have an author webpage. It's mlfarbauthor.com, and that's probably the best place. I also am on social media, but not as often. And I have a newsletter. If you want to get snippets of my writing every month, I send it out once a month, and I also tell a little bit of backstory on some of my stories that I write.
You know,
and you can sign up for the newsletter on my webpage. Sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. You know, in the last few months we have left, I always use this show to let people know that God has given them the gift to write and to pick up the pen and do so. And what I like about it is that you chose to go the fairy tale route, and others may go another route. Some people may write more Christian-centered fiction. Some people may write for the general market. It doesn't matter. It's the fact that you have that gift to write. So in the few moments that we have left, what are some encouraging words you can give our aspiring authors out there today?
Okay. I have Winston Churchill's quote hung up by my desk, and it is, success consists from going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. So writing takes time. It's full of mistakes. But as you work at it, your skill will blossom. So don't give up. Keep going at it. Also, find some beta readers or a critique group. Writing is a very personal endeavor, but beta readers help me see the story's blind spots, and they also help cheer me on when I'm in a writer's slump. So even though it's a very personal endeavor, it's really important to have that support as well.
I like the fact you use Winston Churchill. I've been reading some of his stuff for a project I'm working on. And one of his quotes that he is credited with saying along the lines that you mentioned, he says, success is not final and failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that matters, something to that effect. And I thought about that because when you're a writer, you may think, oh, I'll never get this. No one's going to read my book. No one cares what I've written. But I assure you that it's the journey itself, the courage to continue when you can't see success or you can't even feel the failures, when you're like in limbo even, like you're like, oh my gosh, will the story ever end? It's that courage to continue to put your books out there, to let it be open for public consumption. Because guess what? Someone's going to like your book and someone's not going to like your book. And guess what? It's okay. Because I'm pretty sure, Maria, you're probably sure too, you've read books you didn't like either, but that didn't stop the author from writing. You know what I mean?
It's everyone's own genre.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't please everyone.
Exactly. There's no way possible. And if you tried, you couldn't do it anyway. So I'm glad that you mentioned Churchill, and I'm so glad you were able to be with me on the show today, and cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Thank you.
And we were talking today to Maria Farb. She is the author of the book Vasilisa. It is book one of the Hearth and Bard Tales, available on Amazon.com. As she mentioned earlier, the second book in the series is called The Fourth Sister. That's a Japanese retelling that is going to be available on February 12th. And if it's anything with the lyrical kind of sensation that you have of Vasilisa, that one's going to be in the same vein as well. Different style, but it's still going to have that great writing capability. I actually have the ARC, so I kind of know. I kind of peeked through it earlier today, so I know you're going to enjoy that as well. I want to thank for those of you who listen to the show every year, but one of the things I always say is that if you have the gift to write, why aren't you using it? What is stopping you from using the gift that God gave you? One thing that she said, writing is full of mistakes. It's okay if you make a mistake. It's okay if you don't get it right the first time. It's the fact that you keep going. So maybe you may need a Winston Churchill quote or a Bible quote or some scripture quote to keep you going, because this thing is not easy, but it is well worth the reward. So go ahead, pick up the pen and write stuff. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Write Stuff. I'm the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.